Hello everyone, this is Jesse Newman, Director of Music Works. We are here with another Music Works audio-only podcast. This is podcast number 324, and today we are talking about the moon. So, a few days ago was a supermoon, which is when the moon is at the same time very large and very bright, and cycles line up, and you know, you can plan these things out a gazillion years in advance. So it was on our calendar, and we went out, and of course we couldn't see anything because it was cloudy. However, it did coincide with another project I was doing with a good friend of mine, artist and educator Nadine Bowler, whose project TBD is sort of multidisciplinary, almost kind of like a talk show format for high school education. And so one of the themes was nature, and I had brought out some old composition of mine about related to the moon, which I'll get to in a little bit. And it sort of got me thinking, and then I was onto this song and that song, and I realized that there's actually plenty to talk about around this topic. And so I decided to bring some of that music out for you all today. So we're going to listen to a couple of things. First, we're going to listen to an unbelievable, classic, amazing song by folk and rock American musician, singer-songwriter, Hall of Famer Neil Young, and called Harvest Moon. I want to talk a little bit about that, and then listen to a really great cover version. I'm a big fan of inventive covers. This one from jazz singer, although jazz singer says so little about her, there's so much more about her, but musician, jazz singer, vocalist Cassandra Wilson and her version of Harvest Moon. And we're going to listen to a little bit of Frank Sinatra. I couldn't resist. There's never a bad reason to listen to Frank Sinatra, so this was a good one. And his classic, of course, the song he's known for, Fly Me to the Moon. We're going to listen to a really interesting and emotional kind of cover of Moon River, the jazz standard Moon River that many of you may know from that Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's. And then we're going to end up with, I'm going to put together a sort of a solo edit of one of my compositions that's based on a series of poems by Franny Choi called Perihelion History of Touch, which are about different incantations of the moon too. So let's start off, let's go back to Neil Young. This is an acoustic version of his classic song, Harvest Moon. Let's go out and feel the night. So that's from Neil Young's 1993 recording, Unplugged. You know, Neil Young's voice is like the voice we love to hate. It's so high and whiny and just sounds bizarre and kind of out of place. And I don't know, I guess a lot of people would say a similar thing about Bob Dylan. It's become so stylized, it's so clearly him, it's easy to make fun of and do an impression of, but it's very... you know, to use a terrible expression, it is what it is. It's very distinctive, and he has no interest in taking voice lessons. Like, that's how he hears it, and that's how he does it. If you listen to some of those early Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young recordings, it's amazing how strange a voice quality, how a voice quality that strange can fit in so beautifully with other singers and harmony. And so, I don't know. It's, you can take it or leave it, but... I think it is like a, does have a special character that adds to the vulnerability of his voice. The song is so wonderful. It's such a, I guess it's, I don't know if it's like a breakup song, but it's like this very sort of mature, realistic, character looking back on his relationship with this other character and the nature imagery and this sort of slow paced, you know, there's like two chords to the song and then there's another, when it gets to the chorus, there's another two chords that are really basically like one chord. It doesn't go anywhere, so to speak, except just sits in that beautiful outdoors, you know, sort of moonlit little scene where they're reminiscing and thinking about the love they had and still had. And I don't know, I just can't help but think of sort of being out among some pines and a campfire that's slowly dying. So anyway, there's a couple of really neat instrumental moments too. I love that little, it's almost like a Hawaiian-y sounding slide guitar, you know, when he sings "On This Harvest Moon," it's that little Elvis-y kind of swoop into it. And I love the background vocal singers in the chorus kind of just hovering with that ooh. You know, and just overall it has this like nice little chug along kind of like campfire, like on the trail, Western on the trail kind of strumming pattern. So it's a wonderful song, and I have what I think is an equally wonderful cover. This is jazz singer Cassandra Wilson, who's incredibly talented, technically talented. She's got this enormous range. A lot of people think it's a man singing when she first starts, because she really is like almost in the baritone sort of range. She always surrounds herself with equally talented musicians. There are several really interesting ambient kind of textures in this version. It's slower and there's less of that chugging rhythm, but there are several guitars. There's acoustic guitar. There's one guitar that's just doing that. The harmonics. Let's see if I grab a guitar real quick. I can do a terrible impression of it, but you know, if this is an open E, these are the open strings. And if you touch the string halfway and touch it lightly, you get the higher overtone version. So instead of this, you get. So in that song, there's that. Right? In the original version. She has a sort of nod to that in her version. There's one guitar that is only playing these very delicate, sort of fragile, not slick produced at all, but very just like you feel the presence in the room of these little bing, bong, 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 these little kind of bell tones. There are several little percussion touches, things kind of jingling and shimmering and very high-pitched little ringing things. There is this overlay of crickets, like actual recording of crickets in the background. And then the bass is bowed, so it almost sounds like a cello. And anyway, I think all of this like really produces an atmosphere that is very lush and rich and natural, foresty sounding. And that sets such a mood, the same way that Neil Young's band sets a certain mood with their timing and their sort of slow, relaxed tempo. Hers is this very dreamlike, ethereal kind of thing. And it's just beautiful, and her voice is beautiful. So in comparison now, here's Cassandra Wilson's 1996 version of the Neil Young classic Harvest Moon once again.
I'm still in love with you. loved you with all my heart. But now it's getting late, and the moon is climbing high. I want to celebrate. She's shining in your eyes. Because I'm still in love with you, I want to see you dance again. Because I'm still in love with you on this harvest moon.
That's Cassandra Wilson's cover of the Neil Young classic Harvest Moon. Again, so much attention to detail, these tiny, tiny details, little things shimmering and scampering and brushing and ringing and jingling. And then even without a drum pulse, like there's this very subtle but sort of heartbeat-like churning of the guitar, the thumb style guitar, and we have the harmonic sort of outlining bum 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 while she kind of swishes her way through this this really lovely atmosphere. That album, New Moon Daughter, and the one before it, Blue Light Till Dawn, are such beautiful classics, and they sound like they could have been recorded yesterday. I highly recommend them. Lest we get too sentimentally swoony, let's go to the ultimate classic feel-good comfort. This is Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. heart with song. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
I mean, give me a break. It's Frank Sinatra. That is the 1964 classic recording with the Count Basie Big Band. And the arranger of that song was Quincy Jones, who was famous for about a gazillion and a half things, including most of Michael Jackson's records. But Quincy Jones was out of the full-on jazz swing tradition. And, I mean, that arrangement is just so great. Like that part in the middle always gets me, that and I've played in the trumpet section doing this arrangement, never sounding as good as that, I have to say, unfortunately. But that's always like a little bit of like a playful part for the trumpets, like how high can they get on that, like how high can I get in that scoop and still come in on come on the next part, you know. It's just so fun. And you know, like, all joking aside, everything we said about creating this atmosphere, that almost tangible, warm, loving, outdoorsy feeling, you know, that you would get staring up at the moon, being in some beautiful natural setting. You know, that is no less or more important than the absolute joy, smile, thrill, you know, like good, happy, swing, sassy attitude kind of feeling that you get from that Frank Sinatra arrangement. And, you know, really, that's all what all good music should be going for. And the reason to listen to music in the first place is to seek that emotional reaction, that emotional connection. So, you know, one is using the moon as this Neil Diamond's version, and Cassandra's cover of that, using the moon as this metaphor for, you know, something from the glory of up on high and the peace and love and fulfillment from that kind of, you know, connection to love. And then you have Frank and Quincy Jones and Count Basie Big Band just swinging so hard and so locked in, and making that your toe tap or your head bob or whatever else happens to your body when you have that emotional reaction in such a strong way, just a different sort of accessing a different side of your emotional compass. So anyway, highly recommend it, and a classic for good reason. We're going to move on to something else. So this song, Moon River, which was written by Johnny Mercer and is most famous from the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's. Audrey Hepburn's character sings this sitting in her apartment window looking out. And Moon River, you know, the river is sort of like loosely a metaphor for time, time passing and your life passing, and thinking about both the past and what's coming up in the future in the same way. The Hepburn version is beautiful and, you know, stylized in its way. There's a really nice version with singer and violist Petra Hayden, one of her longtime jazz colleagues, guitarist, a sort of multi-talented guitarist, Bill Frisell. They do a duo version of this, Moon River, which is just beautiful also. But the one I'm going to play for you today is much more recent. It's by singer Frank Ocean. I think this came out in 2018, and Frank Ocean is a sort of a, I don't know, associated with a lot of hip hop artists, sort of neo soul singer. Also does a lot of falsetto and sort of vulnerable, not your typically macho male kind of singing, but really like sort of like laser focus, locked in to very delicate lines, higher in register and swooping back and forth. And anyway, this version is it's him. It's a multi-tracked version of him. In fact, there's kind of a neat little like vocal effect going on in the beginning. It almost sounds like they shifted his pitch, shifted his voice, and then you hear him come in and out. I don't know exactly how they recorded this, but it definitely has a real collage type feel to it. And this was used in the documentary by Ava DuVernay called When They See Us, which was about the wrongfully convicted Central Park Five from the Central Park jogger case. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it. I haven't seen the documentary. It's on my list. I'm very excited to see it. I'm sort of dreading it and excited at the same time because it's a difficult subject. But basically, these men were wrongly convicted and have an awful journey to get back to justice. And they were convicted when they were very young, and so they lost a really crucial part of their lives. And so this song and the version of it you're hearing now is sort of beautiful on its own. It's in a beautiful song and an interesting take on a beautiful song, beautiful in and of its own right. But also, if you are familiar with that case or are familiar with the documentary or are looking forward to maybe watching that documentary, it really is an interesting choice and match for that idea of these five men whose past and future were so violently and unfairly, maddeningly interrupted and thrown off balance, and now obviously they're headed back towards what they would have had, or maybe just moving forward to what they would like to have. There's a lot of levels to the way you could make sense of this song, which is again testament not only to the strength of the song and music and the way it's put together, but also how important it is to connect music with different parts of our lives. And kudos to the filmmaker Ava DuVernay for seeking out that connection, and kudos to Frank Ocean with such a nuanced and emotionally packed version of the song. So here's Frank Ocean's solo, multi-tracked, but solo only himself version of the classic Moon River.
One, two.
Moon River, wider than a mile. I'm crossing you in style.
Someday. I'm going that way. Two drifters off to see the world. There's such a crazy world to see. We're all chasing after us. Chasing after our end. River, wider than a mile, crossing in style someday.
Again, that's Frank Ocean with a solo performance. There's some guitar in there, but it's basically just his voice and a little bit of atmosphere overlaid several times. Really interesting and beautiful take on that song. And again, if you're interested in checking out that documentary about the Central Park Jogger case and the Central Park Five, it's called When They See Us. And that song was chosen by the director, Ava DuVernay, for the final credit sequence. So you can put that, add that level of meaning to your experience. I'm going to finish up today's session with a contribution of my own. I subscribe to Poetry Magazine. It comes from the Poetry Foundation in Chicago. I do not write poetry, but I enjoy reading it. It's like a little different muscle in my brain than reading the typical fiction or just reading, you know, the news off the computer, which I do all day anyway, or I try not to do, but there are a few poets that are regular contributors to that magazine. One of them is a woman named Franny Choi. She's I think maybe in her early 30s. She lives in Chicago. She is very in touch with the LGBTQ community, and also does a podcast with another excellent young poet, Denez Smith, called Verses. Anyway, she is often in the magazine, and last year I spent a while working out a piece based on a short series of poems of hers called Perihelion, A History of Touch. And the texts, they're all short. They're like maybe, you know, one paragraph. And there's about 10 of them, and they all reference sort of different styles and phases, and almost like a anthropomorphizations, you know, like when the non-human things are given human qualities, anthropomorphism. And I like these poems because they're not like the moon is so pink, like the pink of the cupcake that I made. You know, it's not like that kind of thing. It's more just like, here's a little moment talking about some kind of character, perspective, or idea that comes out of the feeling that this type of moon gives me. And it'll make a lot more sense when you actually hear the poem. But so what I did was I arranged this music for a quartet. It was trumpet, clarinet, acoustic bass, and drum set. And then I actually rearranged it for a trumpet-only quartet with electronics. And so since then, it's gone through several permutations. But I'm going to play a sort of solo version for you today. And for each one, I think I did six of them. For each one, I used the text in a different way. So the one you're going to hear today is called Worm Moon. And it has some text that is, these are all read by the author, Franny Choi. You can find these on the Poetry Magazine website. She's reading the text, and I've processed it so that it goes through a couple of different EQ changes. So you'll hear it sort of change from sounding very sort of thuddy and muddy to sounding very crisp and almost like it's coming through like a really tiny high-pitched speaker, and back again. And there's a chorale, a slow chorale of three different voices, and I'll play those on trumpet. And so you'll hear those notes move through seven or eight different chords, and in between those chords there'll be breaks and silences where the text peaks out. So over several times through, you'll get to hear the full paragraph a little bit at a time here and there until it comes together as a whole. And there's also some bass and some percussive elements as well. So you'll hear at the beginning the text read by Franny Choi, and then the rest of the instruments as per arrangement by myself, Jesse Newman. This is Worm Moon.
The rumor that something with blood like mine could be halved and still live. And what did I learn? I buried myself all over the garden, but the pieces only sprouted into new riddles. Squid leg, spaghetti squash, a jerking thumb. Their names still sounded like mine. Everyone in the same dress, chewing dirt to avoid each other's eyes. I lay down next to the one beneath the porch, hiding among the oyster shells. Don't cry, I said, but she cried anyway. Her tears fell straight into my eyes. What a lesson to watch them float back and forth between us until we knew each one's shape, until we knew finally what to do. Fell straight into my
Again, that was Perihelion, A History of Touch. Text is by Franny Choi, recorded by the author. And the music you hear is my arrangement, Jesse Newman, of a chorale for Worm Moon, one section in her poetry. Music is by me, Jesse Newman, Worm Moon. You heard three different cornets. One had a sort of soft, muted feel to it. The other had a more buzzy, harmon mute feel. And the bottom one was just open cornet, plus some additional sound design. I hope you enjoyed that and were able to hear some of the connections, at least that I was envisioning, between that text, the idea of what that moon brings and the kind of dynamics happening in this other world, in the soil, between the animals, thinking about their struggles and their future and their past, and how that sort of also slides into the human experience in terms of dealing with each other and figuring out where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. I highly encourage you to check out Franny Choi's poetry. It's Choi, C-H-O-I. And again, this is from her poem. I haven't contacted her. Maybe I should send her a recording of it, see what she thinks. I'm just taking her recording that she did for Poetry Magazine and working it into some original music. So with that, I think we'll conclude our podcast, Music Works number 324, audio only episode about the moon. Again, we listen to Neil Young, Cassandra Wilson, Frank Sinatra, Frank Ocean, and then music by myself, Jesse Newman, poetry by Franny Choi. Thanks so much for being with us. As always, please feel free to check out any of the content on our website, www.musicworksnyc.org, or you can contact us through the website. Let us know if there's anything you'd like to hear about. Please take good care of yourselves and use music to keep your lives rich during this time. I'm Jesse Newman, Director of Music Works. I will see you soon. Thank you.